I had a rough start this past week. I didn't have the Sunday Mass here. I actually woke up with 103 temperature that lasted for 2 days. And I was actually supposed to give a Advent reflection at St. Joan of Arc. It was about an hour and a half, talk to the people out there in Chagrin Falls. But I had to cancel it because I was sick. And I had all this material that I had presented or prepared over the past month. And, well, I thought I'd share just a small snippet with you this morning about the season of Advent. And the USCCB put out this teaching about the season of Advent. The Advent season is a time of preparation that directs our hearts and our minds to the second coming at the end of the second coming of Christ at the end of time and the anniversary of our Lord's birth on Christmas. A time of preparation for our minds and our hearts, not baking cookies, not decorating and not writing cards. But notice the priority. Lists are very important in the church. First is to prepare for the second coming of Christ, and the second is to celebrate the anniversary of his birth. In my own observation of our the Catholic faith, we come here on Mass to receive the sacraments, to give worship and to give worship and praise, and to be strengthened by the Eucharist. We are thankful. We are repentant. But how often do we take in the theological reality that Christ will come again? That, remember, I use that a lot in my homilies. Used to be the memorial acclamation in the old sacramentary. And even in our creed, which we will recite here shortly, he will come to judge the living and the dead. So the reality of the second coming of Christ should be part of our daily understanding that he will come again. The Second Vatican Council's dogmatic constitution on the church, Lumen Gentium: already the final age of the world has come upon us, and the renovation of the world is irrevocably decreed and is already anticipated in some kind of real way. For the church already on this earth is signed with sanctity which is real, although imperfect. You see, we are in the last chapter of God's salvation plan. It's now. Granted, again, we still need to live the earthly reality. I keep reminding you of all that. And, we are signed with sanctity, as the church teaches us, although we are imperfect. We are imperfect because of our fallen human nature. Jesus spoke often of his second coming. He indicated that various signs would mark this event. Mankind would suffer from famine, pestilence, and natural disasters. False prophets would claim to be the Messiah, will deceive and mislead people. Now, I would interpret that to say, is not that they're saying that they are the Christ, but they put themselves as a other form of worship. Nations will wage war against each other. The church will endure persecution, probably. Worse yet, the faith of many will grow cold and will abandon the faith, even betraying and hating one another. We could probably apply all that to what's happening in our world around us right now. Do we need to worry? And the answer is no, because you know why? We're prepared. We are already in the fights, but we always need to be armed and ready because it will attack us at any moment. What is our battle prayer? Oh, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. What a beautiful prayer. What a powerful prayer. To defeat Satan. Likewise, as warriors for Christ, we need to be ready at all times. Sadly, though, just one small point. There are not enough ministerial priests around. That's why it's important that you stay close to the sacraments. You come to celebrate the Mass, to be close to the source of grace. You all know that I'm a chaplain in the University Hospitals downtown. I shouldn't say downtown. University Circle is not downtown. At the University Hospitals and University Circle. When you look at that huge complex, you know, imagine the hundreds of doctors that are in there, the hundreds and hundreds of nurses, the technicians, the lab assistants, and the people that operate the infrastructure, you know, for a 1,000-bed hospital. And you know how many priests there are there? One. Fortunately, there is one there. It's not enough. In fact, I just heard the beeper go off as we're celebrating Mass. So you do need to be ready. You do need to be armed and prepared for the time when Christ will come again to defeat the snares of the devil in the meantime. I came up with a devotion for the season of Advent. You know, that's the beauty of our church, right? We have so many devotions, so many things to draw us closer to Christ. One of the things I wanted to offer the people at my reflection was to pray the antiphons and the collects of the Mass. Now, the antiphon, I just recited at, you know, at the beginning of Mass. There is an entrance antiphon, and there is a communion antiphon. And in the general instruction of the Roman Missal, its purpose, the entrance antiphon, is to open the celebration, to foster unity of those gathered, introduce their thoughts to the mystery of the liturgical time or festivity, and to accompany the procession of the priests and ministers. So what was our entrance antiphon? O people of Zion, behold, the Lord will come to save the nations, and the Lord will make the glory of his voice heard in the joy of your hearts. If you wanted to really prepare for the celebration of the Mass, you know, we've got these little, you know, you come to Mass, you come before Mass starts, you come, you open this up, you pray. I mean, it's in bold, it's on page 33 right there in the Missalette, the entrance antiphon. You can pray over that, do a little Lectio Divina to prepare your hearts and your minds for the celebration of the Mass. And then you know what? You can carry that throughout the rest of the week. Come to save the nations. You know, salvation is an ongoing process. He has saved us. He is saving us. He will save us. And the Lord will make the glory of his voice heard. He will be heralded at his coming. Guess who? By you. That's your job. Remember, you're a prophetic people. And hearts have to be they have to be joyful, unencumbered by sin. It's hard to sing joyfully when the distractions of worldly allurements holds the soul down. That's what really gives the soul, you know, what holds the soul down is sin. So if you want to give up something for Advent, give up your sins. It's a good thing. I mentioned the collect. Well, you know, the high church name is, we call it the collect. It collects all the people's thoughts and prayers together. It's called the opening prayer. Almighty and merciful God, may no earthly undertaking hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son. But may our learning of heavenly wisdom gain us admittance to his company. I don't think the Missalette has the opening prayers, but if you got your phone, there's probably there's an app for that too. They've got the entire Mass. You can have it on your phone or your electronic device. Again, something to pray, to prepare yourself for the celebration of the Mass, and to carry the reality of that celebration through the entire week. May no earthly undertaking, everything we do on earth that is not of God, is an earthly undertaking drawing us away from him. Therein lies the challenge of living in the earthly existence. But we're supposed to be using this time in the earthly existence to prepare us for the heavenly existence. So the question to ask yourselves in this time of penance and preparation, what's hindering you? Set out in haste. I love that word haste. Going back to my favorite theological desk reference, the dictionary, haste is rapidity of motion, to move or to act swiftly. The synonyms are fastness, fleetness, hurry, quickness, rapidity, rapidness, speed. You get the idea. Those that have a devotion to the Liturgy of the Hours, the opening prayer is, God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. When we pray upon him, he comes to us. When we pray to him, he comes to us. Likewise, we must also set out in haste in the same manner to meet our Christ. But may our learning of heavenly wisdom, remember what Sister taught us? The first gift of the Holy Spirit is what? Wisdom. Wisdom grows with faith, understanding, and experience. What is our experience with the triune nature of God? What is our experience in our relationship with Jesus? You have to be active in your faith. Because when you're active in your faith grows and your wisdom grows. Someone who is unchurched, non-practicing, nominal in their faith, they don't get it. They don't understand it. Guess what? We have to help them. And finally, gain us admittance to his company. Just the opening prayer, gives us so much to help prepare us in this week of celebration. John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." Remember, I told you are a prophetic people. It's now incumbent upon us to pick up the Baptist's cry and to prepare the way of the Lord. So, now you get an idea. And I had this whole talk was about an hour and a half long. There was more. I went through all 4 weeks of the Advent, looking at each one of these prayers and each one of these collects and antiphons. Nothing in there about baking cookies, putting up decorations, and writing cards, right? What are you doing to prepare yourselves for the coming of our Lord? And let's not forget, we also celebrate the high season of Christmas when the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's the Christmas season. What are we doing now to prepare? What are we doing now to prepare ourselves and to prepare others? May we have the strength to set out in haste to meet him when he comes again.